there, and welcome to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon, who today takes us back to Exodus. Once again, we are turning our attention towards chapter 29, verses 1 through 22. We're looking at the ordination of Aaron and the Levitical priesthood. We're also looking at the significance of this specific ordination and how it relates to Jesus and how that relates to you and I as well. We invite you to spend time with us today as we continue our survey of Exodus. Again, chapter 29, verses 1 through 22, ordained by God. With this edition of Abounding Grace now, once again, our teacher and pastor. Here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Oil running down the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. What did it symbolize? Well, you have a man set apart as holy, and the oil of God is going on him, anointed to that office. He's being anointed. It's anointing. It's the anointing. Often associated, you know, with who? The Holy Spirit. God anointing this man for his service. What a beautiful scene. Pastors think about their ordination services, and it wasn't quite as glorious as this. We made vows. That was very important, wasn't it? There was a beautiful thing when all of these servants come up and they put their hands on you, symbolizing this one is anointed and set apart. Set apart by God. It's a weighty thing. I had to think a lot about that. Think about that for a minute. The weight of that. It was really exciting. The excitement that happened. I just look back to mine years ago. The excitement that happened. Everyone's excited. It's just a joyful day. The Lord had set apart and given servants to serve. Decked out in the most, you know, here in their particular situation. Decked out in the most glorious dress. Oil on them. They smell great, they look great, all is well, right? Well, not so fast. What happens next? I want you to ponder this one for a minute. Three sacrifices are now commanded. First is the sin offering. God tells Moses to bring the bull to the tent of meeting. Aaron and his sons were to lay hands on its head. And the sin offering taught something all of Israel, didn't it? It taught these something, and here particularly at their ordination, this is not so much dealing with the sins of the people. Uh-oh, we're dealing now with the sins of the priests, aren't we? Now, I'll come back to Hebrews on that, which makes this a very strong point. But they symbolically communicated when they laid their hands on the bull, it signified a transference, didn't it? And the sins of Aaron and his sons were laid on the bull. The teaching was that Aaron and his sons were sinners. The rest of the unclean part of the bull's body was taken out the camp and burned. You'll notice that in verse 14. And then you add these two rams that were given. The first is a whole burnt offering. They laid their hands on the ram in this burnt offering that signified the whole consecration of their lives to the Lord. Dedication to him. And in the second ram, the third sacrifice, again, hands are on the head following the whole burnt offering, and it spoke of their sanctification. It spoke of their separateness as priests. But here's what I want you to think about for a minute in this last sacrifice. They're washed, they're clean, they're beautiful, oil, anointing oil. Think of what happens here. All of a sudden, keep in mind, from the first two sacrifices, blood is being cast on the altar. Blood's everywhere. In verse 20, God commands them, I want you to take some blood, and I want you to put it on Aaron's right ear, and on his right thumb, and his sons, and, notice that, on the big toe of their right foot. What in the world is that? That's just odd, isn't it? And then I want you to take the blood and start sprinkling it everywhere. Remember, this dress is awesome dress. This is beautiful clothing. Somebody had worked a long time to skillfully weave and make all this clothing. From head to toe, notice here, now blood is starting to go on them. Then notice verse 21. And you shall take some of the blood that is on the altar and some of the anointing oil, and here we go, and sprinkle it all over them. That is a remarkable moment. Sprinkle the blood on Aaron and on these beautiful garments, and on his sons and on his sons' garments with him. He and his garments shall be holy, and his sons' garments with him. He just took blood on these beautiful garments and had it splattered, all sprinkled on the garments. What a sight, isn't it? Think about blood everywhere. Teaching, of course, and you should know by now as we look at the entire Bible and put this together, is that blood is always what makes for atonement, doesn't it? There was always the teaching that the high priest had to make atonement for sins because he was a sinner. And that's the important point here, is that the Lord is here declaring a problem with this priesthood. And the problem with the priesthood is the priests are sinners. And I, as I was reflecting on this, I realized something very important was just communicated to Israel, that they should have stopped and said, that's a big problem. God never wanted Israel, this is so important for the history of the church, this point, I believe it is. God never wanted the people to think that it was through the personal holiness of the priests that their lives were blessed by God. Now, how big of a problem has that been through history? Well, you know. Rome has had this problem for years, and we have this problem. I don't want you so exalting Domini Abihu. I don't want you trusting in Domini Aaron. I don't want you to think your spirituality, you're getting it, and you're getting saved because of him. This is a big problem in the history of the church, isn't it? I've been amazed at how many times people, even in the way they casually will talk to me out in public when they find out I'm a pastor. Things that are said, if you wrote them all down, it's just shocking. But all of a sudden now, how they, if they befriend you, they think they're getting some kind of benefit through you. Happens a lot. They were to be respected, but they were sinners. In fact, this was the very thing forgotten later in Israel's history. You know how bad this got in Israel? When Jesus comes on the scene, what did he chide the Pharisees for? You love your phylacteries. You love your robes. You love to walk around and show by all your tassels and all your accomplishments how holy you are. Uh-uh. Don't call those men your father. You don't call a pope your father. I'm your father. You call your heavenly father your father. There's one who's your father. Don't fall into that. This is what Jesus was dealing with Israel when these guys dressed up. This was the problem. They loved to go in the marketplace and be called rabbi, rabbi. Do not be called rabbi. One is your teacher. That's me. You are all brethren. Father, one is your father. That's me. This has been a huge problem in the history of the church. You have to remember this. You can't help but take this and apply it and say, well, everyone who's set apart to serve you is a sinner just like you. Same struggles. Same problems, same lusts, same things they have to fight. It's so important. because God never wants your faith to be in men. And that happened in history, and we still fight that to this day. Israel learned this. Let me give you an example of what happened in the first service. In the Old Covenant. In Leviticus chapter 9, the Lord says, let's have the service. And in their first act, Aaron and his sons go into the tent of meeting. In the first act, And they begin to do the work. And the Lord comes and fire falls down from heaven and consumes the offering. And God's people, Israel, is just in a thunder cry. I mean, they are bowing. They are yelling out in excitement. This is the day. The Lord's with us. We've got our priests. And then this happened. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put a fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them. And they died before the Lord. First service. Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke. Listen. I told you, Aaron. I told you this is serious business. This is what the Lord spoke. When he said, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. So Aaron held his peace. And Moses and Mishael and Elizaphan, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, said to them, come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. So they went near and carried them by their tunics. They got incinerated, but they could pick up the tunics. And they did that. And I reflected on this week and I thought, what was the Lord teaching Israel? All his sons are decked out here in their garments, and they, in the moment of excitement, decide, well, worship, we can do what we want to do in worship. And they profaned his worship and shamed his name. And all of a sudden, the priests are destroyed. Moses says they carry him out by their tunics. All I can say tonight in light of that, in light of what we're studying, is the blood of bulls and goats only provided ceremonial cleansing, but the blood of bulls and goats and rams never took away sin. That was the problem with this priesthood. That was the problem with the old covenant. Remember, blood went on the people. You don't want that kind of arrangement. The priesthood, this priesthood, could not bring in perfection. So now that opens up for us the life of Jesus, doesn't it? We need a faithful and good high priest. And that's what Hebrews is all about. We need that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. Faithful high priest. Notice that. Pertaining to the things of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. So now Christ's life has all kinds of meaning. Think of his life. How does his public ministry begin? Well, you can begin to put this together. He goes to the Jordan, he goes down into the Jordan, and he's baptized. Now the amazing thing about that is Jesus was not a sinner. But Jesus says, John, you do it because we need to fulfill all righteousness. Now, you've struggled with that a little bit. What did you mean by that, Jesus? What do we understand? He's a faithful high priest. So what that means is he had to submit to it because the first ritual of a faithful high priest in the ordination of the priest is that washing. Right there. This is what happens to him. And when he's baptized, all of a sudden, heaven's opened, and who falls on him? The Spirit. He's anointed right there. He's anointed. Jesus, just like the priest had the washing and the oil, Jesus gets the washing and the Spirit. The Spirit falls on him. Notice that. And his very name means the anointed one. This is why Peter said he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. Garments? His garments were his righteous life. I'm going to have to wear this stuff. Pure, sanctified, never defiled, righteous, hallowed to the Lord, set apart. Here's the most amazing thing about it. Is he goes in, carrying your sins, and offers his own body to pay for them. That's what Hebrews says. We have an altar from which those who serve at the tabernacle have no right to eat, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Well, remember the transference. Therefore, Jesus, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So let's go to him outside the camp bearing his reproach. This good and faithful high priest who had no sin, who didn't need to make atonement for his own sin, stood in your place for you as your high priest with the power of an indestructible life, forgave you with his own blood, made the propitiation to pay for your sins, with his own body was crucified, his own blood shed, so that now he might cover you in that blood. His blood. And that's why Hebrews says, chapter 7, unlike the other high priests, he doesn't need to offer sacrifices day after day after day after day after day. That's what they did. First for his own sins, and then for the sins of his people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. That's the whole point tonight. When we set our hands of faith on Christ, when we believe in him, a great exchange occurs. And all that transfer goes to him. And we have his righteous life and righteous garments given to us. That's the heart and pulse of the message of the Bible and the faith that we believe. God made him who knew no sin to become sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He's your high priest. Now, I thought tonight, well, the Heidelberg so beautifully captures this. Why is he called Anointed One? Why is he called Christ? Because he has been ordained by God. Isn't that wonderful? Here's the real ordination. He's been ordained by God to do what? To be, number one, your chief prophet and teacher. He perfectly reveals to you what you need to know. But in our context tonight, our only high priest, who's delivered us by the sacrifice of his body, and who continually pleads our cause with the Father. In the new covenant, that's why you can enjoy and know forgiveness. Do you understand that any ordination that follows from him, now think of what I'm saying at this point, any ordination that comes from him means that that is a direct gift from him to you now to continue that ministry. It's so wonderful, and this is what we say and we have said and we've believed for I don't know how long. Ephesians 4 says it, that he gives as gifts to his church men to serve you, pastors, elders, and these are gifts to you from him. And every time you see an ordination, you're witnessing that the Lord has been ordained to do all this for us. And now he's set apart these men to continue that ministry to you. But I love this. It doesn't leave you out. The Heidelberg also says something else. Why are you called a Christian? Well, by faith, I'm a member of Christ and do what? Share in that anointing. I get to share in that. How so? Well, I'm anointed, you're anointed, to use your lips to speak about him, to confess his wonderful name. You get to function that way. You get to do that. You are anointed this week to go out and to take your bodies and to present them to the Lord as a living, not a death. You don't have to go kill yourself this week. Present yourself as a living sacrifice of thanksgiving to him. Your whole life. Now, if the priest had it here, here, and here, put it together. Your whole life is consecrated. What you hear, what you do, how you use your hands, how you use your feet, where you're walking, what you're walking into, everything that you're doing. You're consecrated. You're anointed. You're set apart. You're a priest unto God. You present your bodies this way. The ear is sanctified to hear, the thumb is sanctified to serve, the foot is sanctified to walk in holiness. What a path for us now. consecrated and anointed. And we do that because of the power of the Anointed One and His indestructible life for us. I've got a wonderful calling as a pastor, but you also have a wonderful calling from God as Christians. You share in that anointing, and you get to go show the love of this high priest this week to one another in your service, in His kingdom, in the way you behave, in how you do your work tomorrow, what you get up and do, how you think, what you see, all that. You're His. I hope that encourages you to see what you share in and to remember how wonderful ordination is when He, in a few months from now, you see men set apart to serve you in a special way, teaching you as elders about the word of Christ, overseeing the word so that it's purely being given to you, and the deacons in a special way who exhibit before you the mercy of Jesus, who care about you and who love you, all because He is the ordained one by God. Let's pray to Him tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for encouraging us with things that are challenging and yet so comforting to see the whole picture. When we look back to the Old Testament, we see these men set apart and how inferior that priesthood was. That's why we needed the true and faithful high priest. And now to see what we share in, a ministry of righteousness, a ministry of the new covenant, a glory that does not fade away. That gives us, Lord, to reverentially bow, to praise you, to come up to your house all the more careful in our worship, and to recognize the men you set apart to serve and to represent the offices of Jesus Christ. But may I encourage all your saints of their important duties this week, of who they are and what they're set apart to do and who to be. Lord, help your saints to know their identity. I suppose that's what I'm praying in the end tonight. Help them to know who they are in Christ. And I believe with all my heart that they will really enjoy walking in the kind of holiness and set apart life that you have designed for them. As you tell us in the book of Revelation, we are all kings and priests to our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen. What a marvelous look at Exodus 29, reminding ourselves of who we are in Christ, the priesthood that we share, and our high priest, our elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. It really is an amazing look at the ordination and also just exactly how church government should be ran. And this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Closing out today's program, we invite you to contact us. Maybe you have a question, comment about the program. Maybe you'd like to listen to the broadcast again. Any reason at all, we'd love to hear from you, even if it's just a quick praise report saying thanks for the program. That means a great deal to us. You reach out to us at agradio.org or call 888-504-8805. Now, bear in mind, as you visit us online, again, agradio.org, that'll also provide a great jumping-off point to the other platforms that we're available on, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Again, you can jump off to any of those platforms through our website, agradio.org. If you do have a question you would like Pastor Chris to address here on the program, we would invite you to use your voice memo app on your smartphone. Record your question, your name, and where you're calling from, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. If we use your question on the air, we'll email you back and let you know when the program airs, so you'll be able to listen to Pastor Chris's answer again right here on Abounding Grace Radio. And then finally, as we conclude our time today, a quick reminder that this radio broadcast airs on this station you're listening to because friends of the ministry come alongside of us prayerfully and financially. There is a financial cost to making sure that these programs continue to air here on this station. And if you would like to link arms and partner with us, become a part of this family, we would love to hear from you. Again, reach out to us at agradio.org or simply call 888-504-8805. Hey, thanks for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.